Invite you to take your scriptures and locate 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. First Peter chapter 5 is our main text for the day. Our study is titled Too Much That and Not Enough This. Too Much That and Not Enough This. What is it that we're focused on? What is it that we need to be better focused on? First Peter chapter 4. Right next to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We'll jump in at verse 6 to set the stage. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. That verse is a quote, a partial quote from the 55th Psalm, and it really is bringing a complete fulfillment to that psalm, to the subject that is being focused on, and to the concern for the one who is making that cry. When we read the words, cast your care, cast your anxiety, cast your burdens on him, it is the idea of throwing something on something. It is the picture of taking a blanket and throwing it across a donkey or a horse for the purpose of riding most effectively and most comfortably that animal. And that is the picture that is laid out for us in the scriptures and is so helpful as we make our way through life and deal with life events and life issues. And this verse talks about every issue of life, every life issue. Cast what is going on in your life onto this something. Throw the blanket on the horse. Might be another title for our study this morning. And some of us naturally say, well, what kind of blanket are we talking about? That's an interesting question, not necessarily a bad question, but an even better question is, what kind of horse are we talking about? What kind of donkey are we talking about? What is it that we're going to ride through life? What is it that we can count on in life? What kind of horse are we talking about? Stories told of a gentleman who was having lots of life issues going on in his life, and one of the life issues is basically he thought he had swallowed a horse. That's a life issue. Well, he made a wise choice in that he went to the doctor about this predicament. Imagine you're the doctor and the patient comes in. You ask the patient, well, what's going on? What's the problem? Why are you here? Well, doctor, I think I've swallowed a horse. Well, he said, you know, I think I need to refer you to a specialist. So he called up one of his friends and said, I have got a patient for you. Well, together they collaborated and they came up with with what they were hoping would be an effective treatment for this individual who thinks he swallowed a horse. They brought the patient in. They said, we've got good news for you. We can help you. It's going to take just a minor surgery. You'll wake up. You have a little Band-Aid on your stomach where we're going to go in and operate. But the scar will be so minimal, you may not even recognize it as a scar. But you just let us put you under, and we'll take care of things. He said, that sounds great, doc. I need your help. And so that's what they did, because that's what you can do under the Affordable Care Act. They put him under, and when he's under, they bring a horse into the room, and they stand the horse next to the patient. And when the horse is next to the patient, they wake the patient up and they say, "We got good news for you. We got the horse out of your stomach." The patient looked at him, looked at the doctors, looked at the horse, looked at the scar, or looked at his bandaged stomach. He said, "Doctor, you got the wrong horse. That's a brown horse. I swallowed a white horse. I think you better go back in." You know, there's someone who's got life issues. He's dealing with life issues, and we question whether he is dealing with them right. But you know what? We all have life issues. And our life issues are our life issues, and whatever is important to us is important to us. And Scripture talks to each of us where we're at in life today with the stuff that's going on in our life, with the life issues, the life events. And it is very encouraging as we read about the horse that we can ride through life and the horse that will carry us through life effectively and most comfortably. We get a picture of the one who is worthy of our attention, the one who is worthy of our affection, the one who ought to be the core and center of our life, and that is the creator of life, the sustainer of life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son of God. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we get a little more of a picture of his care and compassion for us. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your care, cast all your issues on him. Why? Because he can handle it and because he wants to handle it in our life. Because he is motivated by compassion, he's motivated by concern, and he is absolutely able to handle anything and everything in our life. Too much worry, not enough reality would be maybe what we would label this particular patient. Too much non-focus on the right horse, and here we are again today as we make our way through life. A couple of facts that come out of this text and out of the whole scripture that serve as encouragement and inspiration for us this morning. Fact number one, God cares for us like no one else. There is no one else on the planet who cares for you as much as the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the wonder of a marriage relationship and in the close connection of family relationships, there is still one who is over the top in connection, compassion, and concern for us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for us, and his care is absolutely credible. Four thoughts that the scriptures teach us about this care of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, we read these words. "Do not fear. Why? I'm with you. Do not anxiously look around you. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Most surely, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Think of that word uphold for just a moment. I was kind of running with that this week, what's it really mean to uphold? It's not a word that we use maybe a whole lot in our everyday conversation. What's it mean to uphold? Maybe you can help me. I finally came to the conclusion it means hold up. You catch that? I lost a lot of brain cells coming up with that gem. To uphold means hold up. And that is exactly what God does as we make our way through life, excuse me, as we deal with the challenges of life. He gives us the courage to face the shaking and baking of life continuously. He gives us the courage to face life and not run away, not quit. He provides a stability in our life that no one else can or will. Foundations are critical. The higher you go, the stronger and more stable the foundation needs to be. You know, with any building project, eventually age catches up with it. You think of how many buildings that you see are 100, 200 years old. They all show the signs of wear and tear, right? But the ones that are still here typically have a pretty solid foundation. They've been able to weather the storms and the issues of life. If we were going to build something that was going to last a long time, we'd be wise to put a lot of time into the foundation. In fact, a lot of times you see the most effort is what we typically don't see above ground. You think of the Hoover Dam. Would you like to live right below the Hoover Dam? You'd have to have a lot of confidence in the people who built that dam, right? Might be an interesting study. Go check it out. Look at all the efforts that was made that were put into the foundation. All the concrete that was laid. And what was it laid on? Solid rock, if they were smart, right? Solid rock if your family is living down below the dam. And there's a good picture of what God does for us and what he provides for us. That which is stable, concrete. We can build our lives on the person and work of Christ. And he's the one who brings stability to our life. But it doesn't just stop there. You know, we think of that solid foundation. And he is a solid foundation, but it doesn't just stop there. God is so wonderful that as we build our lives on him and as we let him control our life and bring stability to our life, he goes even beyond that. You know, a couple weeks ago, there was some shaking and baking out in California. Kind of down the road from us, there was an earthquake, and some of our friends sent us, like, videos of their swimming pool during the earthquake, and it was like, ooh, ooh, you know. It looked like a dog jumped in, and it was a real small dog. You know, it wasn't very impressive. You know, no big deal. But then they sent us some other pictures. And like, here's a road going right down the desert and nice and straight going there. And all of a sudden, boom, the road's over here. It's shifted 6 feet. So you're going along, whoop, 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 whoop. That's some pretty massive shaking. And sometimes as we go through life, we get in those moments where it seems like everything is falling apart. We don't know what to hang on to, what to hold on to. You know, God gives that rock-solid stability, but he also gives us the ability to handle the shaking. And if you're trying to build out in the Southern California area, there's all kinds of building code issues, and it's remarkable the technology that goes into those buildings today. And there are things worked into the foundation that lets the building move a bit back and forth in the event of an earthquake. And that's just a picture of God not only gives us that rock-solid foundation, but he also has some stuff worked in that allows the shaking of life not to destroy us as well. And the more we understand about how God holds us up, the easier it is, or the quicker we come back to, we're not to be dominated by fear, we're not to be dominated by anxiety, because we are strengthened with God's right hand. That's a pretty significant horse to throw our blanket on, to ride through life. He cares for us today. He gives us the courage to face our shaking and baking. In James 1, verse 5, we also understand, we come to learn that he gives us wisdom, increased wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. He gives us the wisdom to understand, to better understand the situations of life. He gives it generously, not reluctantly, not regretfully, but generously and without finding fault. It means he doesn't hold it over our heads, scolding us, like, here we are again, what were you thinking? He generously gives us wisdom without fault. Wisdom to better understand the situation. Not always completely understand the situation. Sometimes we're going to have to wait into eternity, to have some of the answers or God reasoning for why we go through what we go through in life. But he gives us the wisdom to better understand the situation. Brings a stability to life and a sight to life that helps us keep moving forward. Number three, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. He gives us courage to face life. He gives us the wisdom to better understand the situation, to keep our head above water. And he gives us the strength to do what we are called to do. Christianity, walking with Christ, is an active, ongoing activity. Relationship. God does his thing. We are called to do our thing in affection and admiration and obedience to Christ. He gives us the strength to do what we must do. When we cast our burdens, our cares, our anxiety on him, we receive the capability to handle the situation correctly instead of the situation handling us. It reminds us, why be a cripple when we are capable in the hands of God? Fourthly, God cares for us, giving us courage, giving us wisdom, giving us strength. Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring it to pass. He will bring us to where he wants us to be. Reminds us of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will bring you to his accomplished goal, to his target. He will do what only he can do, and he gives us the faith to trust him to do everything else that only he can do. God cares for us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through. He knows what's around the corner. He continues to work his perfect will in our life for our good, for his glory. Cast all your care on him, because his care is credible, because he cares for you. Fact number one, God cares for us. Fact number two, God controls the ins and the outs of life. come over with me to, invite you to come over with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to drop in at verse 25. Won't be up on the screen. So look in your copies of the scriptures. God cares for us. Cast all of life's issues on him. He also controls, sovereignly controls, the ins and the outs of our life. We still have questions, but his compassion is credible. His control is consistent. It never ends, never takes a day off, never has a hiccup, never needs to reboot. Matthew chapter 6, we drop in at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about the horse in your life. Do not worry about your life and life's circumstances as to what you eat or drink, nor for your body, what you're going to wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. There's about three illustrations he's going to use in the next several verses that remind us of how, of what to see and what to remember about God as we go through life. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. These birds do not sow or reap. They don't go out and plant crops or harvest them at the end of the season and gather it into the barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Verse 27, and who of you being worried, going through the process of worry, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so loved the grass of the field, so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. That's kind of a pep talk. Grow it. It's also kind of a reprimand. Do not worry then, or stop. He wants us to readjust our focus. Don't worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear for clothing? The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's control is consistent. And we see that in the world of nature. We see that in the world of his creation outside of humanity. The obvious application and conclusion is that care, that compassion will be consistent in our lives, especially those who are Christ followers. God controls the ins and the outs of life. His control is consistent. It can be counted on today. Today always belongs to God, and tomorrow always belongs to God. Fact number one, God cares for us. Fact number two, he controls the ins and outs of our life. And fact number three, he provides calm and correction in every storm. Every life issue, God's in the equation. He's never missing, but sometimes our recollection, our ability to identify is a little fuzzy. And that's where we're called back to always see God in the picture. God calms us in every storm, and his calm is contagious. And the more we look for it, the more we'll see it. The more we hang out with God, the more that he rubs off on us. And his glory rubs will be revealed in us. A couple weeks ago, I was out in the backyard, and this humongous shadow came across the yard. It was like huge. It was like a pterodactyl. I mean, it really was huge. And I looked up, and it was a huge bird. Some of you call them vultures. Some of us call them buzzards. Whatever, this thing was huge. And they frequently fly right above our house and right above our porch. We're in this little valley, and it's like, it must be their amusement park. And it is quite entertaining unless they're like 10 feet above you and looking really hungry. But as I watched this bird and the shadows flew over, it was just amazing the mark that it left and the impression that it made as it soared high, high above our house, up in the treetops, or well above the trees. Now, if you would take that vulture, that buzzard, that bird of prey, and put it in a box that's about 6 feet wide. It's all we need. 6 feet and a wall, a cage on every side of that buzzard. Leave the top open. You have essentially trapped that buzzard for life. It's now a prisoner. It's not going anywhere. It's only got about 6 feet to work with. And buzzards, typically the ones that fly above my house, take about 10, 12 feet to take off. Run along the ground, catch the current just right, and off they go. And if they have those 10 feet, they're off, and they'll be way up in the clouds before you know it. But if they don't have that room to work with, they're stuck. They're trapped. So we got buzzards flying over our house, and we also have a few other things. They're a little smaller, but they're equally disturbing to me, and one of those is a bat. We have bats all over, and they're great timekeepers. I'm out fishing, and when the bat starts flying over my head, I know it's time to go home for supper, that supper's ready. And they'll just kind of dive bomb you, and they're just amazingly fast. But ever study how bats fly? What it takes for them to get off the ground? For that buzzard, it needs about 10, 12 feet. For that bat, if I put him here on the stage, put him right down here on the stage, he's essentially stuck. They take off by typically falling. That's why they're up in barns and on poles, and when they're ready to fly, they let go and start dropping, and then they take off. But you leave him here on the ground, and until he goes off, if he was here, he'd kind of crawl up to the side and throw himself off the cliff here, and then he'd be flying over your head in no time. But just put him on the ground, he's stuck. He's trapped. He's a prisoner. The buzzard's a prisoner. The bat's a prisoner. I'm not going to recommend this, but if you want to go catch a bumblebee this afternoon, put him in a jar, a glass jar, big enough that he can fly around. What do they tend to do? Keep flying into the glass again and again and again. You know, the top of the jar isn't covered. It can get out. But it won't get out. It'll just keep flying into the glass, until by accident it gets to the top and goes out. I mean, it will literally beat its brains in unless by accident it gets to the top and flies out. You know, those three animals are an illustration for us of how we often live life trapped in a box, grounded. We're just frustrated and beating our brains out, trying to handle life and do life without the Creator. Trying to handle life even as a Christ follower without the Lordship of Christ being central in our life. And then life is full of struggles, frustrations, and eventually we're out of energy. The key for every one of those animals is to somehow, in some way, look up and move up. That really is a good instructions for us today and a good recipe as we go through life. Keep looking up and keep moving up. Got to put actions to the vision. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and move towards him. That gets us out of the box, it gets us off the ground, and it keeps us from wasting a lot of energy. Our tomorrow belongs to a good God, and our today belongs to a good God. Don't worry about the blanket as much as worry about the horse. And when we're not supposed to worry to the point of not doing anything, the one that we hitch our wagon to, the one that we ride through life with, the one who will carry us when we can't keep going forward, is a friend who sticks closer than even a family member. Look up, move up, trust a good God for the next chapters in your life. Father, as we come to the end of this text, we're reminded that the foundation on which it's based upon and the stability that comes to us in every life storm is the reality of God himself. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he does in the lives of those who follow him. A relationship with Christ, an eternal relationship with Christ, begins with coming to the cross, looking at what the cross means, that Jesus Christ took our place, paid a price that we could not pay, and covered our sins completely. As we look through the cross to an empty tomb, we are reminded of the complete victory of Jesus Christ and the complete victory we can have in and through every situation in life because what Christ accomplished at the cross. Our only response is to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in gratefulness, in submission, and in acceptance. We accept the gift that Jesus Christ offers to us at the cross, acknowledging that we are a sinner. We ask Christ to save us and receive the gift that he's given to us. And we are reminded that as we move forward in the adventure of life, we move forward with it, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the help of his Spirit. And Lord, we are reminded that so often we do not give you enough credit and we take too much credit ourselves. And as a follower of Jesus this morning, we need to confess our sins of not focusing enough on you and making it more about us and not enough about you. We have the opportunity in this moment, wherever we are as we listen to these words, to lay down our burdens at the feet of Jesus, receive his hope, receive his healing, receive his strength, and to step into a new day with a fresh step of energy and enthusiasm and faithfulness. Father, we thank you for your love for us that passes all understanding in every circumstance of life, gives us hope for today and hope for tomorrow as well. Lord, as these truths become a living reality in our life, may our love for you affect others and encourage them in a walk with Jesus Christ as well. We thank you that you are the hope of all hopes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to close singing about that hope. Jesus, the world does not need a political solution. It needs a Savior. And it needs a Lord. He is the one who is King. He is the hope for everyone. And it starts with us. If we can help you in any way spiritually, we invite you to come forward and pray or stick around and talk to someone afterwards. The hope that is available to each and every one of us is through Jesus Christ.